Happy weekend, Aspire leaders. I am so happy to join you once again, and I appreciate your time so much. I know that it's the spring or summer, depending on where you are within the country or within the world. I know some of my friends are off for the summer, and others have another at least month, especially those in the East Coast and in Canada. So if you're going into your summer break, congratulations on finishing a wonderful school year as an educational leader. If you're still in session, I know you only have a small amount of time, but just know that you're going to make a huge difference in the lives of your students. Just a few announcements. I'm going to be heading over to two conferences here in the month of June. So I'm going to be at Hot Springs Technology Institute for the full week of June 10th through the 13th with my awesome co-workers, Jeff Gargas and Chad Ostrowski, as we're going to be talking quite a bit at this conference. So I hope you can head over to hsti.org, register, and join us out in Arkansas. The second conference is going to be one that I'm super excited about at MELC 2024 in Breckenridge, Colorado. I'm going to be there multiple days also in June. The conference goes June 17th through the 19th, and I'll be presenting the keynote on the 19th. Head over to bit.ly/MELC2024 to head over and grab your ticket. I know there's only a couple tickets left, so make sure you're jumping on that, getting that ticket, and heading over to a gorgeous town in Breckenridge, Colorado. Now, if you've been listening to the podcast for a while, you know that my guest this week is a great friend, someone who's contributed to my Aspire Lead book. She is a multi-book author. She's a podcaster. She's a speaker. She's done it all. She was a principal for a really, really long time, and now she's supporting leaders and educators all throughout this country. Super excited to not only catch up with her, but also talk about her brand new book that she is co-authored with George Kuros called What Makes a Great Principal. So proud of her work and how George and her have put together these five pillars that we're going to dive into deeply about just the essential pieces that are needed to be a great principal, a great leader, and someone who can impact all aspects of the school. Welcome back, everyone, to Aspire to Lead, where we will be discussing the visions, inspirations, and experiences from top educational leaders. My name is Joshua Stamper, and you can connect with me on Twitter or on Instagram at Joshua_Stamper. Aspire leaders and Teach Better family, thank you so much for joining again. If you are watching on YouTube, you see a very familiar face to the Aspire to Lead podcast, someone who is a dear friend, but also an amazing leader, author. She does it all. Allison Apsey, thank you so much for being on the podcast once again.
Oh, thank you. I would say, like, first and foremost, I am a learner. And I feel like anytime I get to spend with you, Josh, I get to learn and grow as a professional, but also as a person. So thank you so much for having me.
Oh my goodness. Those are such kind words. And it has been just amazing as far as getting to know you better, seeing you in person at the Teach Better conferences, seeing you speak. I mean, you are such a joy to be around. And I love having you on the podcast. And then also, thank you so much for being a contributor for the book. I know I've thanked you, but I want to do it, you know, in front of the audience too, of just how much your personal touch to my project has meant to me. It was amazing to have your voice in that book.
Oh, that was a huge honor. So thank you for inviting me.
Yes. So let's talk about your latest project, your new book with co-author George Kuros, who also has been on the podcast several times. But What Makes a Great Principal is such a beautiful title and something that I think is so perfect for this podcast. Obviously, the podcast was created for aspiring and current leaders, and, you know, principals are all of this country listening, but then also there's a lot of folks that want to be a principal and don't even know what that means. So before we kick off the conversation, I would love for you just to share a little bit about yourself, Allison, because I know you've been on the podcast several times and maybe some folks have heard of, you know, what you've done in the past, but you've also transitioned away from the campus and are doing some phenomenal things around the country too. So will you just give us a little update?
Yeah, for sure. So I grew up in Michigan and was an educator in Michigan for most of my career. In fact, I spent 19 years as a school principal of all levels. So high school, junior high, and elementary. And a couple of years ago, my family moved from Michigan to Georgia. And in that process, what was my side hustle, like writing on my blog and writing books and traveling and speaking, became my full-time work. So now for the past 2 years, I'm traveling, working from home sometimes, but doing a lot of travel. I just shared with Joshua that I think since January 1st, I've spent 104 nights in a Marriott property. So we're talking about all the points that I'm racking up. But it is, gosh, it just provides such an incredible lens on education across a country. So I learned a ton as an educator in Michigan, as a school leader. And like I said, I am a learner first always, but being able to see like schools from literally New York to California and to be in them and working with teachers, working with principals, it just makes me so passionate about this project and this book that we have co-authored, George and I, but then also with 15 incredible contributing authors. So I'm so excited to be able to share it with you. This is what it looks like.
Love the cover, by the way. As Thank a visual you. Person, I remember you posting on social media some different variations, and I'm so happy with what you chose for the final product because that was the one I wanted you to choose.
Thank you. This was a real collaboration. Paige Kuros, George's wife, also works with Impress authors and was instrumental in the design also. And I think like George's kids gave us some guidance. So that was a collaboration.
That's awesome. So I want to dive into the book because I mean, it's such a huge resource. I've seen so many people with the book in hand post on social media on just what a wonderful resource it is. And so I want to know kind of behind the scenes why George and yourself came together to create this resource for educational leaders.
Yeah. So actually George does a good job sharing the story, so I'll try to do it justice. But George wrote some books with contributing authors called Because of a Teacher. And those books are like chicken soup for the educator soul. They are just beautiful compilations of incredible stories and strategies from educators. So there's Because of a Teacher 1 and Because of a Teacher 2. And a couple of years ago, George said, hey, what if we do like a variation of this for principals? And of course, like if George asks you, do you want to collaborate on something? The answer is like, I'll think about it. No, I'm just kidding. The answer was like immediately, yes. And then he says, I like bugged him about it over the course of like the next year or so, which I mean, I wasn't going to let it drop. So it was a brilliant idea and I wanted to be part of the project. So I did say, hey, what are we thinking about with this? And it wasn't until he read, I'm pulling this out, but he read my book, Leading the Whole Teacher, that like
Brilliant book.
Oh, thank you. I'm so proud of this work. But there are six pillars in Leading the Whole Teacher, the six pillars of the whole teacher. And he texted me, he's like, I love this book. And you know, George tells me what he thinks. Like he tells all of us what he thinks. So if he says, I love this book, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's like, I'd call my personal Simon Cowell. Cause you know, on American Idol, if Simon Cowell gave you a compliment, like it wasn't fluff. You run with it, yeah. So what he says he appreciates about Leading the Whole Teacher is that like I weave in stories with research. And then we talk about like, how might we apply this? And he's like, okay, that's what I envision for what makes a great principal. He's like, I can tell stories. Like George, he tells a story, stories in person amazingly. Like when he speaks, it's incredible. And when he writes, like you can totally hear even like his Canadian accent when you're reading his writing. And he's like, all right, he's like, I'm going to tee it up. And then you're going to take it and base it in research. So we did research around effective principal practices. We looked across actually the entire world at different principal standards, and we use that to develop the five pillars of effective school leaders. Mm-hmm. So George introduces each of the five pillars. I back it up with like, where do we come up with this? What research backs it? Sharing some stories and practical strategies, and then we have three incredible contributing authors for each of the five pillars. So that's kind of the backstory about how this book came to be.
Awesome. So I want to touch on a few pieces. I guess there's like some key elements that are embedded in the book. And so, you know, for our aspiring and current leaders, I know that there's a piece in there that you talk about like
a clear emphasis of what truly matters within that position, mm-hmm. as far as being a principal. And I love this as kind of our starting point for this conversation, because I think a lot of times we have a perception, especially not being in the role. And then we get in the role and we're like, oh snap, that's not what I thought it was, or, you know, what I've held as far as a belief of what matters is actually not true for this campus or for this district. So right. I'm curious on like how you and George came about, you know, creating this, what truly matters for a principal. And if you wouldn't mind just sharing your thoughts on this specific topic.
Yeah. I mean, that is such a good point, because as I work with principals, what I hear from them is like, I'm putting out fires.
Yeah.
I am taking parent complaints, student behavior issues, staffing issues, like filling vacancies that we have. Like, I'm running around trying to solve all the problems of the world. I have no time to do the work that only I can do. Yep. And the other interesting part of what you said is we recognize that what it takes to effectively run a school campus varies from community to community for various reasons. Yep. And it even varies, like what that looks like is going to vary dependent on like the characteristics and the personality of the person who's running the school. So the thing that I love about this like compilation is this is not like, hey, go run a school like Allison Apsey did, or right. go run a school like George Karros did. But it's instead looking at these five pillars and then having contributing authors come in and share from a student perspective and mm-hmm. a teacher perspective and another leader's perspective of what does this pillar mean? What could this look like in a school environment? What are some things to think about associated with the pillar? Because as I coach leaders, I recognize the challenge. Like there's only so many hours in the school day. And we were just talking about as principals, we were working, you know, 70, 80 hours a week. I probably still work 70 or 80 hours a week, but that's of my own doing, not it's, you know, just in the workhorse nature that I have.
Sure.
But there's no more time. So what we really have to think about is how can we use our time differently? Like we even think about, you know, how can we use 10% of our time differently? One of the principals that I'm a new principal I'm coaching, you know, we talk about where can you gather up 10 minutes of your day and use that to get into classrooms. Use that for some proactive planning and to kind of just stop this cycle and trend of being so reactive. I think it definitely got worse during COVID that we were reacting to our circumstances. And I almost see like with principals that like our addiction to like our devices or our walkies of like that's like, that's it's almost like muscle reflex or muscle instinct to be constantly checking something. And what we're encouraging aspiring leaders or current leaders to do is to sit back, breathe, pause. Everything will be okay. Take a few minutes and apply some practices associated with one or more of these five pillars.
I've never wanted to throw something more than my walkie-talkie.
Don't blame you. I wanted to throw principal's walkie that I'm visiting their school.
Oh yeah, it's such a nuisance. I mean, obviously there's for emergencies and whatnot, it's vital. But man, you know, a parent's coming in, you're having a really serious conversation. It's just going off and off constantly, or you're trying to have a conversation with a teacher on evaluation. Like it just seemed like whenever the time was for it not to go off, it always went off constantly. Yes. And it was such a nuisance. And so I totally agree with everything you're saying. It's so easy to get caught up even just with like email, you know, like leave my office, I come back and I'd have 100 emails sitting there waiting for me to respond to. That's not the number one thing on the list of as far as the principal is email. It shouldn't be. But you can easily get trapped into your front office if you aren't being intentional about your time, like you said, and really diving into what's important. So I'm so glad you guys had this. I really wanted to talk about the five pillars though, real quick, because you've referenced it a few times, Allison. And so obviously that's the backbone of your book. So if you wouldn't mind, not that we need to like do a deep dive on all five pillars, but what are the five pillars? And if you wouldn't mind just kind of highlighting, you know, why those are so essential to be a great principal.
Yes. And of course there's overlap between the pillars and there's purposefulness and why we started with one particular pillar and ended with one. But the first pillar is relationship builder. Mm-hmm. The second is continuous learner. The third is talent cultivator. The fourth is resource maximizer. And the fifth is visionary.
Nice.
And so I'll just talk a minute about, like, we chose relationship builder to go first because that's the building strong, trusting, positive relationships. Is like if we don't do that first, none of the rest matters. And it doesn't mean that I need to be the BFF of all of my staff members. In fact, if relationship interferes with honesty and candor, it's a friendship. It's not a work relationship. So we need to be careful about that. But we certainly can have relationships where people trust us, where people value us, where they know they are valued. And that has to absolutely come first. And the pillar we put last is visionary, because all of these things need to be in place in order to co-create a vision and an action plan for your school. And I love Beth Huff and Shelley Burgess's quote from Lead Like a Pirate that is like, people are much less likely to tear down things that they help create. And it is so true. And the vision for the school, the mission, how we are going to live that vision every day needs to be something that's co-created, and there needs to be strong, trusting relationships first.
Oh my gosh, yeah. It's a people business. I mean, it's an industry that you have to, especially in the principal position. I was just thinking about this the other day. Someone had said something of all things, a sports podcast, about like understanding when people are just essentially being fake or giving you a load of BS, right? And they're saying, of course, this is in every industry. And I was just thinking, as far as an educational leader, like that is so important to be able to read people and to, you know, pick up on the nonverbals, be able to communicate effectively. And I mean, because you're having thousands of conversations a day with your students, your teachers, and your parents. So that relationship builder, I'm so glad that that's number one, because I couldn't think of another thing that's more important than that first pillar. With that, Allison, would you mind just highlighting one more pillar in the framework that you've established?
Yeah. I do want to talk about all of them. Because
we can if you want. Let's go.
About all of them. But I know I have to talk really fast. So continuous learner. I love how in the book, George talks about our job as leaders to learn is to learn about our community and for our community and with our community. And that's so important. And one of the reasons why this like just speaks so loudly to me is because I get to work with teachers and principals all the time during professional learning. And guess what happens? I love you, principals. I was you. This was me. So this is no judgment. But sure. Guess what happens when I'm leading professional learning with a group of teachers? They're into it. Of course they are, right? Like we are learning together. We're growing together. The principal walks in. And what is the principal doing? Just can you guess, Joshua?
Probably not engaging.
Yes. The principal is interrupting with the walkie noise or on their phone, maybe both of their phones, or on their email, pipes up, you know, real quick to maybe answer a question, and then is back into whatever else is happening. Important other things are happening 100%. But it is so important as a leader to learn with your staff. With totally. Your teachers. Yeah. That's one of the best ways to also build relationships. It's one of the best ways to cultivate talent. And when we talk about the third pillar, which is talent cultivator, we're talking about cultivating individual talent, but also collective talent and tapping into the power of the collective efficacy. But also, it's like that chicken or egg question. What has to come first? Like, does self-efficacy have to come before collective efficacy, where we feel like we can take action that will help get the desired results? And I love that in each of these, we have stories from teachers who share, like, this is how it was to work in an environment where there was a really great principal who had a strength in this area of talent cultivating or continuous learner. And then the fourth pillar is resource maximizer. And the brilliant Brad Gustafson is a principal, yes, in Minnesota. And he shares...
Shout out to Minnesota.
He shares a story about like rethinking a budget that he had inherited and just kept using year after year without really thinking about how can we align our resources with our vision and mission of our school. And I did the same exact thing. Like I would maybe up the allocation for each teacher or like mess with the budget a little bit each year, but I never like kind of threw it out and then looked at like, how could we reallocate these funds in a way that makes sense for today's learners, not learners from 40 years ago when this budget framework was first developed. So it is robust. I call this book a conference, a leadership conference in a book. Love because it. You have like George with his powerful, witty, so smart keynote. And then I come in with the research. Of course, try to be, you know, powerful and witty too.
Just as equal.
Okay. Awesome. Okay. All right. And then we have these breakout sessions from teachers and a student even mm-hmm. and other leaders to talk about like, how does this look in practice? Like it is beautiful, and so much so that I've had people who are reading it contact me and be like, okay, Elson, I need a study guide to go along with this just to help me process an action plan based upon all the ideas and strategies that I'm learning from this book.
Oh, I bet. Huge shout out to Brad. I've actually seen him in action at his campus in Minnesota. Aww. So huge fan of him. And then also got a wonderful chance to have dinner with him and his wife and Todd Nasloni. So,
that's fantastic.
He is an amazing leader, and so glad that he's a voice in your impactful book.
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. You can find out more at teachbetter.com/podcast. Now let's get back to the episode.
I want to talk about real quick, because you went through the five pillars, but you had talked about several times about the students and the teachers and the leaders that are the voice in this book. And I'm so curious, because I think it's, you know, for our educational leaders that are listening, like it's so impactful to have those voices embedded in the decision-making on your campus. And I love that you've also done that with your book. And so curious with like the strategies that they have provided, because I know there's probably some practical things that they've, you know, embedded into their stories for our leaders, but curious if you have one that's jumping out to you as far as something that you wanted to highlight within the voices that were added to the book.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm even like just looking down the chapter titles.
Probably so
and
many.
There's so many. Yeah. Like when we looked at, when we explored the pillar of talent cultivator, there is a teacher, her name is Abby Ramos Stannis. I need to talk to her about how to pronounce her last name, but
we'll go with it. Awesome.
Okay. Sorry, Abby, if I mispronounce that, but she's amazing. I follow her on TikTok, and just so many great ideas about teaching ELA. But the title of her chapter is Shine Your Light and Get Out of My Way. Like, is that not even just brilliant?
It's perfect.
In itself. Yes. And that's what we need to do as leaders. Like, we need mm-hmm. to shine the light on these pockets of excellence and then let teachers go and just get out of the way. CJ Reynolds, I know you know CJ.
So you're this week, Allison, but CJ Reynolds is actually the guest for next week.
What? Oh, yeah. You're going to have so much fun with him. Talk about witty and smart and talented.
Brilliant. Yes.
Yes. I just was on the phone with him yesterday and talking about some of the work that he's going to do this summer, which is so exciting. I'm like, CJ, like reread your chapter and what makes a great principal, because it is brilliant. Yep. And I love his opening quote in the chapter. So there's CJ.
Real rap with Reynolds.
Yes. His chapter title is Take a Breath, Close Your Eyes and Go For It.
Nice.
And he's talking about the power of having a leader as a continuous learner. And he had a principal who was always learning and looking to learn from his teachers too. And CJ, you know, he's a risk taker, right? Like, you
very
know,
much so.
He might do something and then ask for forgiveness after rather than asking permission.
Definitely.
But his opening quote is, your life needs a few hold your nose and jump moments. And it's a Jeff Foxworthy quote. And doesn't that like describe like CJ perfectly?
Yes.
But I mean, and then we had in Relationship Builder, we had a student, her name is Taylor Tiemann, and she's actually the daughter of Amber Tiemann. If you know Amber, she's a fantastic educational leader in Texas. Taylor's now a first year teacher, but she wrote her chapter from the perspective of a high school student. And she talks about the power of having a high school principal who you know sees you as a person first and a student second, and the impact that that had on Taylor and her classmates. So just so many powerful stories with these contributing authors. If you can tell, like, I'm so proud of them. And like through the editing process, like, I mean, every time I went through the book and edited it, I was texting George, like, George, this is so good. And he's like, just good? I'm like, George, do you know what so good means? Like, it is amazing. And it's actually exciting because when I share like my own books, like, I'm going to be humble, right? But I don't have to be humble with this book because I didn't write it all. Like, it's written by all of these amazing educators from around, like, you know, the country. And so I'm just so proud to be able to elevate their voice and share their work. And of course, proud to co-author this book with George.
Oh, George is amazing. Yeah. You're making me feel old though, with Amber's daughter being a first year teacher. Goodness. Amber's been on the podcast before. I met her several times at conferences in Texas. So she's phenomenal too. But I can't believe her daughter's a first year teacher. Goodness. That's amazing. So let's talk about Allison. You not only have phenomenal books, you know, you've talked about two of them today, but you also speak quite a bit all over the country and you're working with districts. But I also know that you are an amazing keynote speaker for district kickoffs or at convocations. So curious on kind of what you talk about during these convocations to get the school year off. And for those who are listening that want to bring you in and, you know, do that same thing for their district to get everyone excited. What are some of the different topics that you like to cover for the beginning of the year?
Yeah. So I think probably the topic that I get the opportunity to share the most is creating need-satisfying environments where everyone thrives. And when we talk about that, it allows us to explore the opportunity to create classroom environments where students can feel whole, seen, valued, and thrive, but then also lends itself to be thinking about, like, how can we create school environments where all the adults there feel whole, seen, and valued, and thrive? And, you know, I know that I have books and work on school leaders, but that can't fall just on the shoulders of school leaders. We all have a responsibility to create a school environment where our colleagues can thrive, our students can thrive, our families can feel supported and a part of the learning process. And I do have a book that I wrote that was published in 2019, I think, that's called Through the Lens of Serendipity, Helping Others Discover the Best in Themselves, Even If Life Shows Them Its Worst. And it's a journey just to really think about all of the relationships in school and how we can support people and discovering the best in themselves, being the best version of themselves, really engaging and learning alongside each other, regardless of what the relationship is. So we're looking, you know, teacher to student, student to student, teacher to teacher, all our staff members, our families, all relationships are reciprocal. Even school principals and staff, it's a reciprocal relationship. And as staff, if we think like, oh, our principal is responsible for building relationship with us, you're right, they are, but it can't just be one way. It's not going to be an authentic relationship unless it is a reciprocal relationship. So just thinking through all of those pieces. I am passionate about this and love it when I have the honor to kick off a school year with a district in this way. And I have several that I'll be traveling around this summer and helping them kick off. I can't believe it, but the end of the school year and we're looking at 24, 25, and we don't even have hover cars yet. I feel like
Back to the Future was not accurate. What's going on now. Yeah, it's not accurate.
No, I feel cheated.
Yeah, right. We definitely thought that was going to happen. So Allison, definitely looking for folks to contact you. Obviously I have your website on the screen so they can, you know, definitely contact you via your website, but also through social media. And we'll talk about all the various ways people can connect with you, but highly suggest that you contact Allison to have her come to your district to get things kicked off. I know Allison does an amazing job when she speaks to really motivate and really make that connection for educators to kick off the school year. So super excited that you're able to do that. I want to ask you a question I've asked you several times since you've been on the podcast through the duration. We podcast just turned 6. I don't know if you saw that, but
congratulations.
I know it's crazy to think about. That's We're almost incredible. At 300
I'm so
interviews,
proud of you.
But you've answered this question before, but I love doing an actual item, right? So for those who are listening, if they can do something tomorrow or next week to enhance their leadership journey, what would you advise them to do?
Ooh.
It's a big question, right?
I know. What's at the forefront of my mind with all of the challenges that school leaders are facing is the idea of being an ambassador of hope as one of your number one responsibilities. Like, if the school leader does not feel like we can take action today that's going to result in a better tomorrow, there's no way that the staff is going to feel that way or students will feel that way. So being an ambassador of hope means pausing, taking a breath, and recognizing that if you just bring light, energy, and focus to your interactions, that's enough. If that's all you're bringing that day, that's enough. And just really thinking about how we can help others feel hopeful. And Dr. Douglas Reeves, I get to work with a lot, and he always uses the word efficacious, that they feel like they can impact a better tomorrow. That's so important for all of us.
I love that so much. So Allison, how can folks connect with you on your website or on social media?
Yeah, just go to AllisonApsey.com if you know how to spell my name. My mom spelled it kind of funny. So, and then at AllisonApsey, I try to keep it simple. All the social medias, my TikTok is at AllisonApsey19, but all the other social medias are just at AllisonApsey. Or if you want to email me, it's AllisonApsey@gmail.com.
So TikTok, huh?
I know, much to my son's chagrin. They like cringe when I post one. I don't do dance numbers yet.
I
think that
yet.
Aged me that I just called it a dance number. Viral dance crazes. I haven't done them yet.
Well, I'm just gonna clip that right there and then push that to social media for everyone to tune into this beautiful interview with you. So so for those who are watching on YouTube, thank you so much. AllisonApsey.com is on the screen. So make sure that you go to her website. If you're on YouTube, I'd love for you to either subscribe to Joshua Stamper's page there or with the Teach Better channel. Obviously both communities are growing and appreciate you liking and subscribing. If you're on a podcast player, of course, we would love for you to subscribe to Aspire to Lead. And then, you know, in the show notes, we'll have all the links for Allison and her books, her website, and of course all of her social media, and specifically TikTok for her dance moves. And I hope that you take advantage of Allison, because you know she was raving at the beginning as far as being a learner, but she is also one that has given so much wisdom and insight into my own life and to so many educators around the country and around the world. So please connect with her, tap into all of the wonderful resources that she provides educational leaders, and I guarantee that you will be a better educator, leader, and person for it. And Allison, with that, I just want to thank you so much for not only the work that you're doing, that's so impactful, but for being such an amazing person and being a wonderful guest on Aspire to Lead.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's a joy to spend any time I get to spend with you. So I so appreciate this.